has joined.
Good afternoon.
Sorry for my delay. Please join me in saying the Anna Bacall. Anna Bacall, you do lot you mean, ha. Tati Serura Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi Ahavat Hinam unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sagbenu taharenu nora kufreshayan sintet nun. These spelt two Hebrew words, cross satam, tear up satam. You can rearrange them to spell sha'ar katam, small gates, reminding us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, as this is the entry point for the negative system. Nagibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kashin. Parnasa and healing. Barchem Tacharem Rachamesitatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Taditav Gimel. This connects to the Sephirah of Netzach and its essence of eternity and eternal victory. Nasim kadosh berov tuvcha na'el adata ket kuf bet tet nunayim. This connects to the Sephirah of Hod and its essence of thankfulness, appreciation, and gratitude. Yachid geye lamcha p'nei zokre kedushata yud gimelamet pei zayin kuf. This connects to the Sephirah of Yesod and its essence of creation, creativity, sexuality, and foundation. Shavatenu kabel Ushmati akatenu yodea talubo shinkufav tzadiyuta. This connects to the Sephirah of Malchut and its essence of kingship, kingdom, and manifestation. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum Vechanun. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, noseh awon wafesha v'chata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the Ma meditation that we say daily, up till more than likely Yom Kippur, maybe even longer. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey. Yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey.
The eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper. Our class class today is continuing our preparation for Rosh Hashanah and for the other high holidays. You will find the handout on the unique astrological times link, and that's underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. And it's at the beginning of the page where it says preparation for the Elul and Tishrei holidays. When that opens up, you'll see a list of various classes and handouts. And we will be studying the class number 4, which is the shofar sounds and information. I'm not going to sound the shofar, even though there are links on the page, two of which have to be replaced, but you can go to YouTube and type in shofar, and you'll see many shofars, sounds, that come from the land of Israel. You should, it's recommended that starting on the second day of Elul, which will be the 10th of August, that you start listening to the shofar every day. But we are starting to read, the knowing of the shofar is a mitzvah. And it's important that you make note for yourself and really understand the distinction between knowing the shofar and hearing the shofar. That's what this class is about. This mitzvah is connected to another mitzvah. That mitzvah is Rosh Hashanah. And the shofar is connected to Rosh Hashanah among other mitzvot. The shofar is used to announce the Yovel, the Jubilee. It is also used during every day of Elul, as we just mentioned, used on Yom Kippur. So it is not just connected to Rosh Hashanah. In biblical times, the shofar was used on Shabbat and on Rosh Chodesh as well. But today, the rabbis have said that because they're concerned that someone might carry on Shabbat, that we don't blow the shofar on Shabbat. And it's actually one of the things that we have lost. It's part of our lack that comes from the destruction of the temple. What is Rosh Hashanah? The literal translation is the head of the year. We call it the new year because of the Western influences. Is the new year also the head of the year? Some people would say yes, that we are celebrating the new year. Others say we are celebrating the creation of the world. We are also told that on Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. We will discuss this in more detail when we discuss Rosh Hashanah. We will also come to understand that Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation. That's the day that Adam and Chava were created. And they were created fully formed as an adult. Some say the age of 25, 26, some say 22, some say 20. They were created fully formed. They did not have a process of birth and childhood. Someday we will have a discussion on why that is and what that is all about, and what that process of becoming a toddler, becoming a child, becoming a teenager, what is the purpose of all of that process? But let us continue. The shofar is an animal's horn, traditionally made from a ram, and there are various size shofars, or shofarot, which is the plural of shofar. They may also be made from any animal that's from the bovid family, even from a non-kosher animal, although that is usually frowned upon. But if it's your only choice, it's still a kosher shofar. The bovid family consists of over 140 species, so you have a lot to choose from. These species are cloven-hoofed and ruminant mammals, which has males with characteristic branching horns covered in a permanent sheath of keratin. Cloven hooves are split hooves, like what makes up a kosher meat if you shech the animal properly, if you slaughter it in the kosher manner. And I will make the statement that I'm not going to explain that we do not have any kosher meat today. We have meat that is marked kosher by rabbis, but the slaughtering mechanism, the slaughtering process, is done in a manufacturing pattern. It's done in mass, and that is very different than the shechting, the slaughtering that was done in biblical times, because the people doing the slaughtering in biblical times were trained in a different way than the way the animals are slaughtered now. And in this country, most of the meat, ever since the incident with the gentleman who owned the plant in Iowa, where most of the meat was coming from, and that was a number of years ago, like 20-some years ago, and he has been recently released from prison and has moved to Israel. But that gentleman had a manufacturing plant that slaughtered animals in the kosher manner, or what was said to be the kosher manner. But in reality, the way he treated his employees was not kosher. He stole their funds by shortchanging them, having them work hours that he did not pay overtime, and other aspects. So there, the training of the shochets, the slaughterers, is not kosher anymore, and the animals that we get from Argentina and other South American countries, and New Zealand and Australia, that meat is not really being slaughtered in a kosher manner. That's my opinion. I also eat the kosher meat. So it's not like I'm following through with with this, my understanding. The rabbis say it's kosher, and therefore it is kosher. As I said earlier today, we have a mitzvah to listen to the rabbis of our generation. Let us get back to keratin. Keratin is the same material as human fingernails and toenails. And the tradition teaches, the Midrash teaches, that this is the material that Adam and Eve were using or were created with their skin in the Garden of Eden. It is material that Satan has no control over, according to the Midrashim. The Midrashim says Satan does not control fingernails, toenails, or hair, because for 3 days after someone is declared dead, these things continue to grow. That's an indication Satan has no control over it. Please know that a horn made from keratin is not an antler, which is made from bone. Traditionally, Ashkenazim and Sephardim shofarot are made from the horn of a domestic ram, while the Yemenite shofarot are made from the horn of a kudu. Now, I don't know what a kudu is. I imagine it's an animal who lives in Yemen. Our Moroccan shofar has no additional curves except for the main curve. So you have different traditions that developed while we were in exile, and those traditions we continue to follow because the rabbis of that area said it was kosher, and there's no disappearance in spirituality. The bovid family is widespread, being native to both to Asia, to Africa, to Europe, and to North America. And it's diverse. It includes bison, the African buffalo, the water buffalo, antelopes, gazelles, sheep, goats, musk oxen, and domestic cattle. The sounds of the shofar. The shofar essentially is monotone, meaning the sound is one at one level. It does not change. Whoever blows through it is going to make the same sound for that shofar. Is another shofar going to make a different sound? It's generally the same. But if you are you have some additional specialized hearing skills that you either develop or that you're born with, you might hear a difference between one shofar and the other, between one blower of the shofar and another, in the sound itself. You don't know what the kavanah, the intention of each person who blows the shofar is, and that makes a significant difference in the effect of the blowing of the shofar. So as I said, the shofar is essentially monotone. After the destruction of the temple, the sages determined in the frame of mourning, there was to be no music in the synagogue services. Thus, the shofar became more significant, and the trumpets became less significant. This is, of course, a physical explanation. The spiritual explanation has to do with the keratin material. There are three distinct patterns of sounds today, representing the shofar sounds on Rosh Hashanah. Why are there three and what are they? We know the number three relates to the three columns of the Tree of Life. Also on Rosh Hashanah, we have the metaphor of the three books that are open to be written in on Rosh Hashanah, the book of life for the living tzaddikim, the book of death for the rashaim, the evil people. Finally, the book of the in-between, which is left open until Yom Kippur when it is finalized. If you think these books are not are metaphors, maybe they are. If you think there's a spiritual book that is written in, maybe there is. But whether it's a metaphor or it's spiritually true, doesn't really matter, because it's the tool we use to understand what's taking place on the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There are these three sounds. The first we are going to discuss is called a tikiyah. It's a long, unified sound, at least 10 seconds long, and ends on a rising aspect. So if you hear the shofar and it doesn't rise, that blow is not kosher. Most people who blow the shofar in most synagogues are not trained to that effect. There is a blow called the shevarim. The word shevarim comes from the shoresh that means three. And it is three short blows, approximately 3 seconds each, so that the length of the three sounds is the same as the tekiah. So if your shofar blower is blowing 20 seconds with his tekiah, not talking about the tekiah gedolah, the final blow on both Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, I'm talking about the normal tekiah, the normal one sound. If it lasts 12 seconds normally, or 14 seconds, or 20 seconds, then the three short blasts need to last that same length of time. And again, most shofar blowers are not trained in that. And I can even speak for myself. Last year, in this facility, I was the only one who was capable of blowing the Tekiah Gedolah for Yom Kippur. They usually hire somebody to come in, but they don't want to do it for the one blow at the end of Nila. So the only one who was capable of doing it in the service was me. And I can tell you, my Tekiah Gedolah was not more than about 10, 12 seconds. So we have three short blows as the Shevarim. And then there is a Truah, which is the name of the third blow. And it is 9 short staccato sounds. Some people make it 13 short staccato sounds. Each community has their own minhag. But again, the 9 short sounds, or the 13 short sounds, last the same as the length of the tekiah. In America, most of the custom comes from the Ashkenazi, since the immigrants mostly came from Eastern Europe. This is a physical explanation. Therefore, it is normally considered 9 short sounds in America. The Sephardi minhag custom is to use 13. to connect to the energy of unity. Even though the true ah is considered a negative aspect of the blowing. There is another sound called the tekiyat gedolah, and this is just an extra long tekiyah, and is not a separate sound itself. Let me give you a nice story from the three sounds and their purpose. The New York City subway system had a problem. Riders were not paying attention to safety announcements. So when it installed a new system-wide PA system, it hit on a solution. Three distinctive tones precede every important announcement. This Pavlovian trick worked to help catch the people's attention in time to hear the timely message. And most people, without really realizing it or understanding it, they come to the synagogue and they're willing to pay attention to the shofar blowing, but they don't know that there's a kavanah for each blow. They don't know that it's not just listening, but knowing, which is what I'm teaching today. But knowing these purposes is all part of it. So when you hear a tekiyah, if you think in your mind that's a tekiyah, that's part of the kavanah. When you hear a shevarim, and you think in your mind it's a shevarim, that's part of the kavanah. You are knowing, you're not just hearing. That's the meaning of knowing the shofar, which is the mitzvah. Know the shofar by knowing the differences between the blows. There's deeper levels as well, as we will come to understand. During the month of Elul, which will start shortly, I believe our Rosh Chodesh event is this coming Sunday, coming Sunday evening. Rosh Chodesh Elul, I believe, starts Motzi Shabbat, this coming Shabbat. Right after Shabbat is the first day, which is the 30th day of Av. But the first day of Elul is Monday. So our connection will be at 10 p.m. Sunday evening. That's East Coast time. It's actually 7 p.m. West Coast time. But once Elul comes in, the time is here, it is a month of reflection. It's a performance review, as one way of thinking of it. Review your past year. Your past year has been part of the pandemic. Your past year was difficult. But how did you behave? Did you welcome it as a gift from Hashem? Even if you didn't consider it a gift, a positive thing, did you realize it came from Hashem? This is the month of reflection. Do you think there's any reason why the Delta form of the virus has now appears to be making a comeback in association as preparation for Rosh Hashanah? The high holidays are weeks away, 5 weeks away, but after Rosh Hashanah, only four. And they grab our attention, these three different sounds. Just like the New York subway, we have our three sounds. They are the tekiya, the shevarim, and the trua. Each morning the shofar is sounded in the synagogue. Our sages say the shofar call is designed to wake us from our slumber. Will you be awake when we walk into the synagogue on September 10th? Actually, it's going to be the evening of September 6th. Will our hearts be primed to focus on the Rosh Hashanah press message? Below is a description of the sounds of the shofar that is being quoted from Wikipedia. The reason that I quote Wikipedia or I quote different sages, and that's the way I present my teachings, is because it's less time consuming if I make a comment that brings in the Kabbalah to the teachings of the regular form of Judaism. And that's what you get when you read Wikipedia. That's what you get from most of the writings of the sages. The deeper aspects is not really revealed. But that's where the purpose of my comments, and that's why I present the teachings the way I do. During the temple times, the tekiya and the trua sounds mentioned in the Bible were respectively bass and treble. We should be familiar with that from the radios and the hi-fis that we got 40 years ago. I'm not sure we're still getting that. I'm not sure our younger generation knows the differences between bass and treble. But the bass is the deeper sound. Oh. And the treble is the higher sound. The tekiya was a plain, deep sound ending abruptly after having risen slightly. The trua is a trill between the two tekiyas. So when we call it, say, the shofar is blowing, it is tekiya, a long single sound, then the nine staccato sounds, then another tekiya. Why is it done that way? Very simply. The tekiya is a unified sound. The trua is a separated sound. By putting the separated sound between two single sounds, we are essentially capturing the negativity, the separation between the beginning positive, the beginning single sound, and the final singing single sound. So we never consider doing one sound. We always do three. Sometimes we do four, and we will discuss that momentarily. Hopefully we'll have time. The two sounds, the tekiya and the trua, constituting a single unit of shofar sounding. While I'm saying there are three blows, the blower does not separate. He doesn't take a breath between the sounds. He just transitions from the one to the many to the one. But these two sounds in temple times were rendered three times during a service. that was added specifically for Rosh Hashanah. First, in honor of Hashem's kingship, Malchiot, next to recall the near sacrifice of Isaac, and also to remember the binding, which when you bind someone, it's not generally not one piece of rope. And the third is in order to cause the congregation to be remembered before Hashem, the Zichronot. And a third time to comply with the precept regarding the shofar, the shofrot. So you have these three terms that you need to be aware of and understand, although you'll never hear them in the synagogue. Malchiot. When we blow the shofar, we all talk in terms of 10 blows. But in reality, we're talking about a blow that is consisting of the three. The tekiah, then a second middle one, which is the truah, and the third, which is the second tekiah. So those three together are considered one. But historically, we forgot whether it was nine blows or whether it was the three, the shevarim. So in each of our sessions, we blow one, it's the tekiah, shevarim, the three, and tekiah. Then we blow tekiah, truah, tekiah. Then we blow tekiah, shevarim, then truah, then tekiah. So if you add them up, there are 10 blows. That is the sequence. That is the pattern. And we do that each time. And we do it three times at each session of the blowing of the shofar in the Amidah, the repetition of the Amidah that is done by the cantor, more than likely. The term is Sliach Tzibur, meaning the leader who's doing the counting to the shofar blowing. And he is the one who says, yes, this blow is kosher, so move on. But each of those 10 blows, which are really three blows, each of those we can relate to the Sefirot. But to be sure, it's basically relating them to the columns of the Tree of Life. So if it's a Shevarim or a Truah, then you consider it the left column. The tekiah is always right column. That's just one kavanah to have when you know the shofar blowing. You notice I didn't say hear the shofar blowing. So you have these three words. Each one of the 10 blows is really considered three blows. And so you have the first one where you are remembering that God is king. That's called the Malchiot. And that's a word that you can include in your kavanah, your mental understanding of what it is you are knowing or hearing. The second one is the zichorot, which is to ask the Hashem, in addition to honoring Hashem, now you want to have Hashem remember your congregation. You don't want to make sure you're not asking him to remember you. You don't want to be separated from the community. So you're asking him to remember your congregation. And the third is the essentially a way of remembering or thanking Hashem for giving us the mitzvah of the shofar. And always remember that mitzvah is to know the shofar. The word truah, which is the broken sound 9 times or 13 times, depending if you are Ashkenazi or Sephardi. And it appears 3 times in the Bible in the context of the shofar, from which the Talmud derives the rule that 3 such sounds must be made each time. In addition, other verses connect the word tekiya, the unbroken sound, to truah twice, thus leading the Talmud to rule that each truah must be preceded and followed by a tekiya, leading to a total of 9 blasts. Tekiya, truah, tekiya, done 3 times, except that when we do it the 3rd time, we add the shevarim as well as the truah. And if this is sounding confusing to you, please ask a question, and I'll try and clarify it more. Over time, doubts arose as to the correct sound of the truah. The Talmud is uncertain whether it means a moaning or groaning or a staccato beat sound. A system of 3 sounds were therefore devised to account for all the possibilities. Shevarim is composed of 3 connected short sounds. Truah is a series of 9 or 13 very short notes divided into 3 disconnected or broken sequences of 3 notes or 4 notes each. The 9 notes of the truah is equal to the 3 notes of the shevarim in duration. And the shevarim is equal to the tekiya in length of time. Now, my next line says the tekiya is slightly longer than the length of either the shevarim or the truah, whereas earlier we said it was the same. How do I explain the difference? I'm quoting Wikipedia, which you do not know who is the author, so you don't know how knowledgeable the person who wrote this is. The doubt as to the nature of the biblical truah, whether it was simply a broken moan, which is the shivarim, 3, or the staccato, or both, necessitates 3 near repetitions to make sure of securing the correct sound. The sequence of the shofar blowing is thus. Tekiya, shivarim, teruah, tekiya. Tekiya, shivarim, tekiya. Tekiya, teruah, tekiya. But some people say that that last tekiya is the tekiya gedolah to make it longer. And there you're asking the shofar blower to hold his breath by blowing it out slowly go make the tekiah gedolah as long as possible. The series is also known by its acronyms of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, respectively. If I need to explain that, I will later, but I think it's self-explanatory. When blowing the Shevarim Truah, the tekiah is lengthened to be slightly longer than the duration of the Shevarim and the Truah together. So now you see how things have been adjusted over the centuries as human beings forget. Some opinions require trebling the series based on the mention of Truah three times in connection with the seventh month in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Numbers, and also on the above-mentioned division of the service into Malchiot, Zicharon, Zikronot, and Shofarot. To fulfill all of the opinions and criteria above, a total of 30 blasts are sounded, the minimum number required today. Now, when I say the minimum is 30 blasts, we're talking about the sequence of three, which is really 10 separate blasts, but not separated by the breath of the blower. And so we have this statement, Tashrat, which is Tekiah Shevarim, Tekiah three times. Tashat yields 9 blows. Tashrat has 12. And Tarat has 9. So you see how we get 30 different blows, but they're not really considered 30. They're only considered 10. Alternatively, although fewer opinions are satisfied, some communities sound a single series of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat without trebling, without doing it three times. And this will fulfill the required total number of 30 blasts if the Tekiah is counted as 1, the Shevarim is 3, and the Truah is 9. Regardless, all of the halakhic authorities of all the different communities of Jewish people all teach that one should follow one's community's custom. In modern practice, in the Orthodox tradition, it is customary to hear 100 or 101 sounds in the synagogue, although the minimum requirement is to hear 30 sounds, which is the tradition in the Reform movement. And other communities have their own other opinions. The shofar is sounded just before, during, and after the Musaf prayer on Rosh Hashanah. For the sounding just before Musaf, after the Torah reading, relevant verses from the Bible are recited, followed by two blessings, one on the biblical mitzvah of hearing the shofar, and the blessing of Shehiyanu. After that, 30 shofar blows are sounded. In the Musaf prayer, in the Amidah for the Musaf, the shofar is sounded three times during the silent prayer, and then again three times during the leader's repetition. For each of these soundings, 10 appropriate selections from the Bible are recited, followed by a benediction, followed finally by a series of 10 shofar blasts. After the leader's repetition of the Musaf prayer is completed, a final series of 10, or sometimes 11, mostly 11, depending on the community's custom, the shofar blasts are sounded, yielding a total of 100 or 101 blasts. Some communities do not blow the shofar during the silent Musaf prayer, instead blowing 30 blasts after the leader's repetition. After the service is over, it is customary to blow another series of 30 blasts to confuse the adversary. I'm not going to explain that, but if you want to question it, you can go ahead and ask. We're out of time. I'm just going to try and read quickly some additional information. According to the Sephardic tradition, a full 101 blasts are sounded, corresponding to the 100 cries of the mother of Sisera, the captain of Yabin's army who did not make it home after being assassinated by the biblical Yael in the book of Judges, chapter 5. One cry is left to symbolize the legitimate love of a mother that mourns her son. The Kabbalists explain that 101 is the gematria of the name Mikhael, who is the high priest on Rosh Hashanah in the upper worlds. And this angelic name also deals with healing and with cleansing. And Mikhael is also a connection to Chesed. The Kabbalah explains that the Tekiah represents a positive aspect, the Shevarim represents a negative aspect, and this represents lesser judgment, just like the second day of Rosh Hashanah, or soft judgment. And the Truah represents a negative aspect of harsh judgment, just like the first day of Rosh Hashanah. When one views the different ways of the blasts, one realizes that the negative blasts are always preceded by a positive blast and followed by a positive blast. This is a very significant in that the structure indicates there is affinity from the negative blast to the negative actions that people have done. Yet once the affinity is created and connected, the positive aspect overwhelms the negative aspect and destroys the negative action, which represents the chaos that would bind the perpetrator and create chaos in one's life. This is a very important teaching and understanding, as we will see below, which we will do in another week, another study. But one way to consider this, to really become aware of it, the metaphor that Rabbi Berg from the Kabbalah Center uses and taught me is you can think of the shofar blast as a missile. That out in space there are these negative missiles ready to find you and crash into your life. But the structure of the shofar blowing is a missile that goes up and finds those negative missiles that are hanging around waiting till they're authorized by time to hit your life. Because that's what time is, the difference between cause and effect. The cause is my negative action. The effect is this missile that's going to hit my life. This chaos that's waiting to happen in my life. And the distance between them, which is time, is the amount authorized by the Bet Din for me to decide to do teshuvah for that negative action. So this missile, not just one, many thousands, sometimes billions, are hanging around my life, waiting for the authorization to come hit me, to create the chaos in my life. But by listening to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and at other times, that blast is finding the negative missile through the affinity of the negative blast, the Shevarim or the Truah. It's finding the negative missile, and then it's blowing it up because it's connecting to it and blowing it up. That's the metaphor that Rabbi Bird taught me, and I hope it's helpful for you all. As I said, we are out of time. We are complete with this class, unless there are questions or comments or thoughts to be expressed. Our next class is at 3 p.m. West Coast time, and it will be a Deep Zohar class where we will finish, or if not finish, we will move forward in section 27 of the prologue of the Tikkuni Zohar. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts? I wish you all a beautiful week, Shavua Tov. Be well. Enjoy. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom, thank you. I appreciate it.
Shalom.